Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in this busy world that we are in, this time to pause and to rest before you. Lord, these moments seem more rare every day. Lord, as we live in this fast-paced world, may your Holy Spirit work on us in heart and mind, convicting us, leading us to repentance, and restoring us in your grace and love. May this be a time of rest before you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I have a question for you that I've been thinking about a lot lately. Do you think we live in a fast-forward culture today? And what I mean by fast-forward is, do we live in a culture and a time today, more than ever maybe, where we are so quick to want to fast-forward through the uncomfortable and the difficult and only live in the comforting, the peaceful, the consoling? So I think we are. I think we're in a culture today where we are fast-forwarding through stuff more than we've ever done in our world. And here's an example. So I turned on the TV the other day at home. We have an Amazon Fire Stick. You know, you click on it, gives you access to these apps that you can stream TV. And so I clicked on it, I turned it on, punched in the password, and I just sat there. It did nothing. It entertained me. No entertainment at all for 20 seconds. It was awful. Then when it finally came on, I was like, oh, thank goodness. It's okay. It's on. I can watch TV now. Technology is a great gift, but I think technology has conditioned us to want to fast forward through things because we can fast forward through so many different things in our lives. But what happens when we fast forward over stuff? We miss things, right? We miss important things that we need to hear. For example, think about a time you were having a discussion with someone, a conversation, and you're mid-sentence, and they interrupt and cut in saying what they think you're going to say, and then it's completely wrong. They're not even in the same room as you as to where you were headed in that conversation. Those kind of things happen all the time in our world today. And fast-forwarding can be a good thing, but can also be a troubling thing, especially when we apply it to our relationship with God. When we try to fast-forward through God's word and God's work in our lives. I was reading our Old Testament lesson, the one just read from Isaiah. I was reading it on Monday, and I thought, ooh, this is a fast-forward text. I want to fast-forward through those first 9 verses, and I want to just sit in verse 31. Verse 31, wings like eagles. That's a verse you put on the wall at home. That's a verse you print on t-shirts. Someone in our early service in the handshake line, he pulled out his tie and what was printed on it? Verse 31. It's a wonderful verse from God. And it's just our human nature, even with God's word, to skip over the tough stuff, the uncomfortable stuff, maybe even ignore it, and just sit in stuff like verse 31. I heard someone once say, not here at OSL, at a different church community, I heard them say once, we don't really teach the crucifix to our children. That's too heavy. We only teach the resurrection. How do you get a resurrection if you don't have a crucifixion? We know that God's word, the Bible, is an entire word that God has put every word on those pages, and he's done it intentionally. There's no word there that's just accidentally there or doesn't have purpose. He's put it there intentionally for us to read in its entirety, because God's word, page to page, cover to cover, is this narrative, this full story about God as creator and sustainer and redeemer. We are intended to take in that full word of God and not just certain parts that make us feel good about ourselves. Because we need, in truth, we need the cut of the law. We need the sting of the law just as much as we need the comfort of the gospel. So Isaiah, he started this section with sting, the cut of the law. He said, "Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in? This is Isaiah saying God. God is God Almighty, God all-powerful, reigning over the earth. And man? Man is just man. Grasshoppers. It's God that reigns over the earth. It's God that stretches out the heavens. It's God that has put all creation into place. And it's God that keeps creation tied together as we exist today. And we need this reminder. We need this reminder every single day because we can get so consumed with accomplishing things and running through responsibilities and task lists and duties, and you get so consumed with that that we forget that God reigns over all of it. We so easily forget that God is creator and sustainer of every good thing in our lives. And as Isaiah goes on, he gets personal. I think he gets personal. I think it starts to sting a little more as Isaiah goes into verse 23. He said, "Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One." This takes our mind back to earlier in this same chapter where Isaiah spoke something that probably sounds familiar to you. Verses 6 to 7, he said, "All flesh is like grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it." Oh, how God's word crushes the ego of man. It's so easy to see ourselves as more than we are. It's so easy to elevate ourselves, to look at all the things we're accomplishing, to gather up all this praise from the world and start pointing the spotlight on ourselves and elevate ourselves higher than we should be. And it's deceiving, right? Because it sounds good. It sounds right. And when I center the light on myself, the world goes, "Yeah, good for you. That's what you should do. Make it about you." But the great trouble with that is that we start seeing ourselves as God. We put ourselves above him. What do I think is right? What do I want for my life? What path do I want to walk on? Because it's my life. And the risk in that is we start forgetting that God still reigns as sustainer. We start forgetting that his word, not mine, not yours, his word is the one authority for our lives. And if we stop recognizing that God's word is the authority, then we stop seeing that we need to be saved. I stop seeing my sin. I stop seeing my faults. What do I need to be saved for? I determine what is right and wrong. And then if eventually I see I don't need to be saved, then who do I lose sight of? Jesus. I lose sight of Jesus. What do I need a Savior for? I don't need saving. I set the standard. That's the great risk we run when we take God's law and we bypass over those parts that sting. We step away from the stinging work the Holy Spirit does through God's word, and we just go to the gospel and just sit in there. Now, those outside the faith, they'd hear what I'm saying. They'd say, "You're nuts. Why do you want to be cut at the knees? Why do you want to be humbled? Why do you want this God of yours to call you out and convict you as wrong, then lead you to publicly confess that in front of a bunch of other people? That sounds ridiculous. Who wants to do that?" But we welcome those moments, don't we? We welcome that convicting work of the law because we know what comes after it. When we repent and we confess before God, what does he do in response? He restores. He redeems. He reconciles us with himself. It's after those moments when we are cut at the knees by the law and we are convicted of the things we've done wrong and we are standing before the Lord, Lord, have mercy before me, forgive me for what I've done. I'm a poor, miserable sinner, that God then brings us closely to himself, just like a loving father, and he cleans us off. And he looks us in the eye and says, we're good. I love you. We are at peace. That's what happens in those gospel moments. And Isaiah, in his words, he started to slowly start stepping into this in verse 26. He said, lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Lift up your eyes, O Israel, you chosen people that God has chosen, and look at God, your God, that calls you by name as your creator, your sustainer, and your redeemer. Now, I'm a very visual person. I have to see things to understand them, and so I came across this picture here. And to me, this is a picture of gospel grace. Here you have the sinner, still holding the hammer and the nails that put Christ on the cross, too weak, too broken by the conviction of the law. But yet he stands because Christ is holding him. It's Christ that picks us up out of those ashes. It's Christ that picks us up out of that despair that the law convicts us in. And it's Christ that redeems us and restores us and brings us into a new life in him. To me, this is what gospel grace looks like. And Isaiah, he dives right into it. Starting in verse 29, he really gets to the good stuff. He says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There it is. That is the good stuff that our hearts and our minds need to remind ourselves and to be in day after day after day. That is what comes to us after moments of repentance. We put those words on the wall. We print those words on t-shirts and neckties. We carry those words into the world because they tell us, assure us of the love of God, of his grace, of his forgiveness, of his reconciliation. These are words for now. As we walk through this life and there's all these things pulling us and the devil's prowling around trying to get us to walk away from Jesus, it is these words, this grace of God that keeps us clinging to the faith, that keeps us coming back here to receive the gifts, the sacraments, to strengthen our faith every week. And it's these very same words that are pointing us to a life to come where we will be in the Creator's presence. No more arguments, no more fighting, no more illness, no more disease, no more struggle, no more hardship, no more depression, nothing. All that we struggle with now will be gone when we are in that moment with our Lord. Brothers and sisters, we can't afford to cherry pick and filter our way and fast forward our way through God's word. We need his word in its entirety. We need the sting of the law just as much as we need the comfort of the gospel. We need the crucifixion of Christ, that stinging, painful image of our Lord Jesus, his death to pay the price for my sin and your sin. We need that. And we also need the comforting and assuring and consoling image of the empty tomb, where our Lord Jesus once for all stomped out sin and death on our behalf. Praise God for the gift of his word. Praise God that his word is a living and active presence in our daily lives. And all glory to God. Praise God that a day is coming where we will run and not grow weary. We will not walk and not faint. Praise God for that gift. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of this faith. Apart from the work of your Spirit, Lord, we wouldn't even be here. We thank you for your continued convicting and restoring work in our lives. Lord, we pray that as we are tempted to wander off, that your Holy Spirit would pull us back, that would lead us to the cross, to confess our sins, and that we would find your steadfast love, because, Lord, you have promised to forgive, you have promised to sustain, and you have promised that one day we will be in your presence forever. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.